Welcome to the first episode of the Joseph Fritzl case. I'm your host, Kylie.
And this is Julia.
Joseph Fritzl trapped his daughter in the basement underneath their apartment building that was off of their house, if that makes sense.
So, an apartment building? This yes. Wasn't even, like, in his house?
Oh, no. It was their house. So, basically, they had a house. He built an apartment building off of the back of it so that they could charge for, obviously, rent and make money off of that. But he also did it so that he could build an elaborate basement underneath it. And he basically made a secret room where she was kept for 24 years of her life.
Jesus Christ, dude. No, absolutely. Imagine living in that apartment building.
Yeah, but they didn't. Nobody knew that. The problem was when he trapped her, he told everybody that she ran away because she had run away before. Because before he trapped her, he had been raping her.
Oh.
Every day, twice a day.
Yeah.
It was a literal routine. So she ran away and was like, I'm going with one of my friends. I'm going to get a college education and all this other stuff. And ran away and didn't tell anybody. But her dad called the police on her and had her found and brought back home. Yes, it's lovely. So basically, they had returned her home from the first time she ran away, or the only time she ran away, really. Joseph, Elizabeth, and her brother, I forget what his name was, it didn't really say any of their names, it just said, like, Joseph and Fritzl, and then all of, Elizabeth's children's names, mm-hmm. who were also Joseph's children, but also grandchildren, that's really all the only names that it gave me, and then also Joseph's wife's name, and also Elizabeth's mom's, so Joseph, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's brother are home, and Joseph asks if Elizabeth can help move a door, I believe it was, like a metal door, mm-hmm. into their garage, instead of asking his son, which makes no sense, right?
Yeah. Even as, like, yeah. How anti-gender stereotypes, most people these days, if it's a father who has a son and a daughter carrying a metal door.
You typically ask your son. This is also in, it's post-World War I. So there weren't, those gender stereotypes were very much a thing and everybody believed in that.
Yeah, that's a very solid.
Yes.
Trait.
So yes. Yeah. So, basically, Elizabeth is like, yeah, whatever, because she knows that he would punish her in ways that a father should not punish his daughter for not doing something.
You just kind of keep it busy.
Yeah, pretty much. So, there were multiple entrances into this elaborate basement that he built, mm-hmm. and one of them was in this garage, and only he was allowed in this basement. Nobody else was allowed, none of the tenants in the apartment. His wife, Rosemary, was not allowed. All of the kids, not allowed. He locked every single door that was going to that basement, and nobody had the keys except for him. There was one key.
What happens if he loses that key? Like, could you imagine how bad he would flip?
Yes. So, he might have had a second one, but he always had one on him, and nobody knew where the other one was if there was a second one. So, basically, he was like, Elizabeth, I really need to talk to you. It's really important, but I want to go somewhere, like, private. So he unlocks this door and is like, we're going to go to my office in the basement. And she's, like, freaking out because she's like, we're never allowed in the basement and blah, blah, blah. And at this point, I think that the rapes had subsided a little bit.
Yeah.
They weren't happening as much. But she also knew that if she refused to go, he would bring her down there regardless.
Yeah, at that point, she probably figures, if I go down with him, it's happening. If I don't go down there willingly with him,
it's happening.
And I'm getting beat at the same time.
Yes. So, basically, he brings her down through, the way the basement worked is the stairs went down, obviously. They go down to a door, mm-hmm. that needs to be unlocked.
Jesus Christ.
And then it's a room. So basically, you had to go through every single room. If that makes sense, every room had two doors.
Oh, yeah.
And you would enter a room. The first room, he unlocked the door, went in. He turned around, locked the door behind him, and then went and unlocked the next one. And they did this for a couple of rooms. And then they got to his office, where he was like, okay, just sit down. And she had noticed, like, a gun, and which she was like, my dad has never expressed the feeling that we need a gun in the house.
Yeah.
So there was just a gun sitting on a, she called it a bookshelf in the book. She was like, that's the only way I can describe it. It didn't have books on it, though.
Yeah.
It was like a trinket shelf, like, where you just put, trophies and stuff. It was kind of like that. And then he said, I forgot something in the house. I'll be right back. And when he came back downstairs, he had a cloth covered in chloroform.
Yeah, as one does.
And chloroformed her.
Yeah.
Yes. So then the book gives different scenarios about what could have happened before she woke up.
Mm-hmm.
But she obviously doesn't know. She's passed out.
Yep.
And Joseph is obviously, like, not giving that information to the police. This also happened when she was 13 or 14. So, Joseph probably doesn't remember, because when he got arrested, 24 years had gone by that he was doing these things. So, but anyways, she woke up, and she described the room as musty. One of the walls looked like it was dirt. Like,
dude, just probably was.
Just the outside. There were no lights. Well, there were. Actually, there was one light, I think she said. But he had the light switch.
So he never had the lights on.
Yes, essentially. It was only on very, very special occasions. Like, it was almost never on. And she was, I think at first she was shackled, like a prisoner would be, around their ankles and their arms and their wrists, and it's attached to their waist.
Oh, my God.
And then it was attached behind the bed that was in there, so she woke up on the bed, but shackled and couldn't move off the bed. Like, the shackles were that short. So she scans the room. It's like a mini kitchen. It has, like, the kitchen necessities, like, a stove to cook, a fridge, and
a kitchenette, if you will.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like when you go to hotels and they have those little kitchens.
Oh, my God.
That's what it is. And then a toilet that is not, it's just in the open. It's just a toilet in the middle of a room. And then the shower had walls so that the water didn't go everywhere, but that was it. And then there was a sink. Only one, though. So, yes.
Was it in the kitchen or the bathroom section?
Well, it's all the same section. So, there's no, like, in between. It's one room with all of this crap in it.
Imagine being on the toilet, but you're also stirring your spaghetti.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, she could not move for multiple days. She just kind of had to chill on the bed because her shackles were not long enough to even get off the bed. So, and Joseph would come in and... No. Joseph left her down there for 10 days before he went in and gave her food or water or any form of human interaction. So then when he started going, he filled the fridge with food and whatever else and was like, you'll only eat when I tell you to eat and whatever else. And he would come down twice a day like he used to and rape her in the morning and at night. And...
Just it like was brushing your teeth.
Yes. And it was a routine that happened. And, So, it was really...
What a routine to get into.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the part in The Grinch where he's like, 7 o'clock, dinner with myself, can't miss that.
Yes.
7 o'clock, gotta go get my daughter.
Yes.
Sorry, guys, gotta go through my maze.
Literally, it's so bad. That's basically the background on... where she was for 24 years. His background is a different story. This is the only part where I feel bad for this man, because he's obviously a very, very, very bad person for all of the things he did to his daughter. But, basically, when he was when he was born, in, like, the beginnings of World War One.
Oh, yeah.
So, and his mother had been previously married and divorced because she couldn't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And basically, her ex-husband was just like, you're a disgrace, like, you can't give me children, and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. So, he was like, see ya. So she found this random guy, doesn't even say his name, because he was not there for most of Joseph's life, can't speak, basically, this guy got her pregnant, and she was like, thank God, like, I'm only having this kid to prove a point.
I'm not crazy, like, it's not me.
Right. But that was the only reason she wanted to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, she ignored Joseph. She abused Joseph, like, mentally, emotionally, physically, all of them abused. His dad had to go to war.
Yes.
They didn't think he was coming back. His mother got taken prisoner of war, but in the war times, they had to rent out all of the extra rooms in their house to people that their houses were destroyed or soldiers that came back or whatever else. So this, like, six-bedroom house was, they had one bedroom.
Yeah.
And there were random people renting out the rest of their house. So he stayed with these random people while she was taken prisoner of war. And so she came back, and they really didn't think she was going to, but she came back even worse, as you would imagine, prisoner of war, you know, doesn't help at all. So she comes back, whatever, abuse, all that stuff, still happening. So she comes back, whatever, all that stuff is still happening. And then they still are going through the war, you know, World War One was a really long war, and this all takes place in Austria. I forgot to mention that earlier.
So, that's the country that really caused World War II with, like, Franz Ferdinand.
Yes. So, problem country. He lives in the problem country. It's literally so bad, and where they live is so close to the borders of the other surrounding countries on that side, which hate Austria right now. Yeah. So it's just really not good. And there's people coming from the other countries trying to seek refugee and whatever else. So some of the people that are living in his house with him don't even live in Austria.
They're just illegal.
Yes. But they didn't care because it's the middle of a war and nobody is paying attention to who is illegal and who is not illegal right now. They're paying attention to who's bombing who. So, speaking of bombing, all these adults that lived in their house kind of took Joseph under their wing, sort of. Like, not motherly, fatherly wing, just kind of like, you're a kid and your mom hates you. You can, like, come to the bomb shelter with us while she sits in the middle of the kitchen not caring there's sirens going off.
Mm.
She was like, if this house goes down, I go down with this house. That was her mentality.
That's my dad, but he built the house.
Oh, well, yes. So, after the war, his father came back. Surprisingly, we didn't think he was.
Mm-mm. Homie shell-shocked.
Yes, very much. Probably not the best mentality. And honestly, if his mother didn't slam the door in his face, he probably would have ended up abusing Joseph also because of the shell shock and PTSD and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he knocked on the door, his mom opens it, and is like, mm-mm, I used you for a child, you can leave now. So this soldier is now homeless on the streets, whatever. We hear nothing about him throughout the rest of the book. Or anything else online. Cannot find it.
He's done
for after that. So, the war is still going on. Low-key. Well, not really low-key, but
like, we're talking, like, 1917. Like, it's almost over.
Yeah, it's almost over. So the kids are, like, allowed to go back to school now, and they're, like, not as worried because it's the end of the war and, like, not all the spotlight is on Austria now. So he starts going to school, but the way they did school was, if you didn't go to school during the war, wherever you left off before the war is where you continued. Mm-hmm. So Joseph hadn't started school because his mother is a horrible mother to him and didn't enroll him and whatever else. And he took it upon himself at this point, because I'm fairly certain at this point he's 12 or 13. He has to be at least 12 or 13 at this point. So, he goes to school. They have, like, three teachers in the classroom because of how many kids of so many different ages are in these classrooms. And obviously the older kids are learning faster than the younger kids, because that's just how it really works. Like, as you get older, you learn faster. So these second graders, who are actually second graders in, like, age-wise, are in this classroom with someone who's supposed to be in sixth grade. Jesus. And the sixth graders obviously learning, like, they're doing addition. They're learning addition way faster than the second graders actually are, because they're not mentally there yet. Which is just how you grow up. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But they also didn't have the basic, like, you go through the whole year and then you go. It was just like, if you learn all the curriculum, you get to move up.
Oh.
So, which was fine, because he was learning faster, but then, like, each grade gets harder and harder, so it slowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
But there was this one teacher who Joseph kind of looked at as his father figure, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, not in a father figure, like, he taught him what not to do when it came to being a boy and being sexual, because he's at that age where he's learning about himself now.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a father figure in that way, which is what I'm getting at here. During this time in school, he began to make dirty jokes.
Oh, yes.
In class. Specifically about the females and exposing himself to them. Yes.
Like that kid at our school did. Justice. Remember? They would play tag.
Yeah.
And run around. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. So, basically, sometime throughout his schooling, he thought it was a good idea to stalk people. But he didn't view it as stalking because he's 13 or 14 at this point.
Yeah.
And didn't really know what it was. And he's very not educated because of the war, and he was deprived of that. And that's not his fault. But, so he starts, there's like a dirt path that is near his house somewhere, and he starts hiding in the brush around it.
Jeez.
And there's women that jog around there all the time. And one night, very late at night, his mother did not care where he was. He pulled his pants down and jumped into the path and showed this lady. We don't know how old she is, don't know anything about that lady. We just know that that situation happened. And that's the beginning of his
sexual wrongdoings.
Yes, exactly that. So then he grows up, and it really just kind of, all of the information I found in the book and online kind of was just like, we don't know if he did any more things. If he did, they obviously weren't big enough for anybody to say anything to anybody important about them. So they were just like, he grew up. Now he has a job in a couple, in the closest city. They really didn't give any city names, partly because they're not words. Like,
yeah.
I don't speak Austrian, so I don't know how to pronounce them, but they also didn't give them. They were just like, the closest city to where their town was, where he got this job, and it was a really big job, and he was getting paid very well, and whatever. Also, at this point, he's married to Rosemarie, but he's working, this city was like 2 hours away, so he's staying in a hotel there when he works, and he comes home every once in a while to see his wife, who lives in their childhood home with his mother.
Oh.
Yes. All of these situations literally take place in the same house.
With his mother.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
So, basically, he, well, before he gets married to Rosemarie, he gets this job, and he's staying in a hotel, and he starts stalking this woman, and finds out that she has a husband, and finds out where she lives, and, like, full stalker mode, like, anything you can imagine stalker is what he did. So, he eventually, ends up stalking her one night, and the husband is not there, and he sits outside of her house for hours to make sure that he isn't coming home, and she left the window open.
Oh, buddy boy.
So, he goes into the house, holds her at knife point, and rapes her.
Yes.
She called the police on him. He did his jail time for that, whatever. Then, some point after that, he gets married to Rosemarie, whatever else. He continued to expose himself to unsuspecting women.
As one does.
Yes. The book said that, and everything online, like, all of the stuff that the book says is everything online, yeah. So, about the background, everything, they were just like, we don't know how many women he exposed himself to, and we don't actually know how many women he actually raped, but these are the ones that were reported to the police.
Yeah.
So he got, like, fines and whatever for exposing himself, because that's just indecent, but, after him and his wife had been married for a while, he is most definitely cheating, but forcefully cheating, like, raping girls, cheating, on his wife, and they have a lot of kids. I'm fairly certain it's upwards of 6 to 8 kids, including Elizabeth, that they have, Rosemarie and Joseph. He starts abusing his wife and whatever, all that stuff, just like his mom did, except also physically more aggressive than his mom did. Like, to the point where one of Elizabeth's siblings said that, like, they watched him throw her against the wall. Like, Hulk smash into the wall with her. It was bad.
Like when people used to starfish the lockers.
Yeah.
Thrown.
Yes. So, that abuse eventually turned into Elizabeth being abused.
Yeah.
And after it turned into Elizabeth being abused, wasn't really talked about if he still abused Rosemarie, but I'm assuming so. And he also really liked to say that a baby made everything better. So most of the kids that they had, he probably forced himself on his wife. And then they were like, oh, a baby makes everything better.
Well, he probably felt like that because that's how his mom felt. Like, after she couldn't.
Right.
Like,
but he's an only child. But he was never satisfied. So he had 6 or 7 kids with his wife.
And then, well,
and then 7 with his daughter. So this man just has, like, 14 kids. Like, it's so gross. Yeah, he had 2 sons and 5 daughters with his wife.
So why did he choose Elizabeth? Like, what was so special about Elizabeth? Nothing? Just, it happened?
He literally has 5 daughters. He had 5 to choose from. And so at the point when Elizabeth was starting to be abused, she's the middle of the 5. So the 2 older ones had moved out at that point and started their own families. But they had said, like, in the book had said, they saw that he had an infatuation with Elizabeth.
Yeah, she was just, there was something about her.
Yes,
that's
so
awful. Imagine being the person.
I know, like, it just grosses me out. I was so grossed out reading this book, too, because I was gross. And this happens way more often than you would think, and that's what's even more disgusting. Like, don't have kids if you think you're gonna, like, be sexual towards them.
Exactly, but that's also the reason they have the kid.
I know, it's so bad. Yeah. So he often got drunk. That was throughout his whole marriage, kind of just throughout his whole life, really. He became obsessed with Elizabeth when she was around 12 to 14. They don't give an exact timeline because Elizabeth can't give an exact timeline. Yeah. Because she, once she was put in the dark room, she lost track of time. She did not know when she was going to bed. She didn't know if it was the middle of the day or the middle of the night. And my theory on that is because her body, like, even if you, like, say you didn't have windows in your room and you lived in the basement, like, you would still wake up, like, in the morning. Yeah. Because your body's used to that. So, I think the chloroform for him, she must have woken up at a random time. She doesn't know when she woke up. Because yeah. That wears off. That doesn't, like, your body isn't like, oh, it's daytime, so the chloroform is gone now.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Plus, she must have had to, like, after that first time, the adrenaline's running through her blood. She's not gonna fall asleep until she absolutely has to.
Right.
So at that point, she could have just fallen asleep anytime.
Right. So, and this room, like, he didn't turn the light on for her, like, ever. So, at this point, she doesn't know what time it is. And over time, like, over the years, that body time calendar, whatever, would have gone away. But I think that it's just, it made it worse because he chloroformed her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we're going to talk about all the juicy details in the next episode.
Oh, so excited.
Yes. Yeah. So we're going to talk exactly about what went on in the crime.
Oh, can't wait for that.
Jesus. Yes. And we're going to talk about all seven of her all kids seven. And his grandchildren and kids, because they're the same thing, which is absolutely disgusting.
I don't know what I'd do. I think I simply would just die.
Mm.
I think I would take that chain.
Yep. But I'm Kylie.
I'm Julia.
And we'll see you next time.